Session number 10039, reel 5.
Do you yourself, do you have any active involvement with a peace movement?
Yes, we have in New Zealand still the Christian Pacifist Society, whose principal job is to keep people informed of the efforts throughout the world on the anti-war movement, if that's the correct expression, and to support those groups financially in their work. And so the Christian Pacifist Society disseminates information throughout interested people and through some of the churches, and sometimes at public functions like, you know, fairs and big days with a stall or something like that, and any demonstrations of the place of the Christian pacifist in the modern society. But it's largely because there's no conscription in New Zealand. It largely has no place to play at this stage in supporting conscientious objectives in a practical way. But I'm on the New Zealand Council of that, and that's basically what they do.
You sound very optimistic about New Zealand's attitude today, though.
Yes.
Towards issues of peace and war, am I right?
I think myself that New Zealand is, I think, unique in some ways. A, it's never been a colonising power. And B, that up until fairly recently, it had very good race relationships. Now, in New Zealand, with the Maori people, they have all the equal rights of New Zealanders by law. There is a growing tendency in New Zealand for the Maoris to assert themselves, and this is perfectly understandable. And the other thing is, too, that I believe myself that New Zealand has always been highly respected, particularly in the East, because of its non-colonising good race relationships. And I believe myself that the greatest mistake New Zealand made was to put forces into Vietnam. I believe that if we had gone in as part of an impartial reconciling outfit to help people in distress, we could have done that. Now, of course, we went in as part of the big American machine, and I think we have lost our respect in this way in very many parts of Asia. And I'm sorry about this. Don't misunderstand. I have great respect for many American people, but I think that their politics and the American military machine is pretty devastating. And I think we have lost, though, this fine edge that we've always had for many years in Asia. Now, to me, that is the sad thing about it. There was very strong anti-Vietnam demonstrations in New Zealand, very strong. There was never any conscription for it, but there were strong social pressures amongst with the RSA to encourage people to go to Vietnam. And I think it's a great pity.
When you look back upon your FAU experience in World War II, you know, towards the end, was this very important to you, you know, to have had that opportunity to do the work you did, Lindsay?
Oh, I think myself that for a person who has taken the anti-war attitude, to have done something constructive particularly from a New Zealand point of view, was tremendous. And when I think of my very good colleague who had no alternative to rather spend it in detention camps doing useless work or in prison, we were the very, very fortunate people because, A, we saw something of another part of the world which we normally would never have seen, but on the other hand, we were able to do, I hope, a constructive job, and as I keep harping back, to a reconciling job, which is really the keynote, I think, of the work of the FAU.
So would you say that the FAU organisation was pivotal, you know, having somewhere like that to organise people like yourself?
Oh, and I think it's a must. And I hope, of course, that there is never another international tragedy, because we would all do. But if there was one, I'm sure that the FAU would be jumping in right in at the start to do all it could to counteract the devastating effect of war amongst the particularly amongst the civilian people. And this is why I keep on saying to myself, that if only our governments could see that if we would do more to promote peace, I believe that every government should have a ministry of peace as well as a ministry of war. If we could have a ministry of peace, and if we could send our young people all over the world to mix and live with people at a tenth of the cost it would do to maintain the army, we would have much more opportunity of a world growing together in understanding. And this is why I'm all for young people travelling. We've just recently been 12 days in Europe, you know, with motor caravan. And I kept saying to myself, now of all these lovely people, why can't they live in peace as they are now? And yet so much of their history is in war. And gee, all our monuments, let's be honest, are in war. And my constant prayer, if that would be the word, if not prayer, good wish, was when we left the Rhine, I said to myself, I hope the Rhine will always live in peace. And when I left Austria, I think said to myself, I hope the people in these lovely mountains will never see the conflict, which destroys mankind so devastatingly when we have so much to offer to the world. And if we could only, to me anyhow, use so much of this to help mankind rather than to destroy mankind. What a fabulous world. We have all the technology, and yet we waste it, I think. To me, people are terribly important.
Yes, I can see that, Lindsay, and thank you very much indeed for coming all the way to Sussex to tell me about your war experience.
It's been a tremendous privilege. And if it would be any help, I would gladly send you a copy of the thing I've written out for the family, which may have a little bit more detail in it, but it may be a bit too tedious because it's mostly of a personal thing. So.
Yeah, I think that would be lovely and we would appreciate it. I've just thought of an issue which I think, before your train goes, we might get in. Women and the FAU.
Yes.
You did mention there weren't very many
women. No, not many.
Yes, but what was the... did you pick up any sort of particular attitude why there weren't more women? Were there problems associated?
Well, I think essentially the type of work that they were doing, and although I say it myself, was a fairly tough physical job, like the transport on the road, which was tough physical work. The other was, as I know, that in some places it tend to be, you might say, a wee bit dangerous. But there's no doubt about it that the nurses who went out, like Elizabeth Hughes and so on, did a magnificent job which we men could never have done. And the more I see, of course, of ladies and in the world, I realise, of course, that equally in our course they're up to it. But they did a nursing job which we men... And also there was a great deal of not deliberate training, but training on the side. It was only nurses who could really train nurses, just the way, as, you know, mechanics train mechanics. See? And so I think they made a unique contribution to their work. And also it gave them a tremendous understanding because we had some very, very fine Chinese women members of the unit, whom quite some of our chaps married.
Yes, I was wondering about this, you know, the relative scarcity of women. Did that in itself cause problems, say, a competition with the men?
I wasn't conscious of it because I never fell in love with any of them. But I recognise that it may have, but it never affected me personally at all. And I think that if you were so romantically inclined, there were so many attractive Chinese nurses and Chinese ladies that this solved part of the problem.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Lindsay. Thank you. So